That's the kind of magic music we get from our lips when we kiss. And as we behold below, he really knows how to cry. That's how I cry my pillow. If you should tell me farewell and goodbye, lullaby a bird, let whisper low. Kiss me sweet, then we'll go flying high in birdland, high in the sky up above. And it's all because we're in love.
So, this is a remarkable discovery that I made this morning. I haven't even heard what I just listened to until now. And there's more of it, and there was previously more of it. This morning I was listening to Oscar Peterson, the first part of this concert, which was originally held in the Netherlands. And it was recorded in 1957, the year when I was born. I was born before this concert by a few months, and this was not aired or broadcast. It wasn't broadcast. It was first broadcast, it says here, on August, or it just says broadcast, August 28th, 1958. It's got some remarkable musicians in it. I was shocked to see that, I've never heard Ella Fitzgerald when she was this young, for one thing, but I was shocked to see that Ella Fitzgerald's voice was not what I thought it was. Like, she sounded, even though she has a lot of ability in singing, her voice is not what you would consider a singing voice. It didn't sound like it. It sounded like rather almost hoarse in terms of the way the voice sounds, or raspy. It was raspy, yeah. I would say she has a raspy voice, which is, it shocks me to learn that, because I've heard so much about her, but I've never really heard her. But Oscar is, and I have more information, I have more concerts by Oscar that I want to share parts of later, but because I heard some more yesterday, two more concerts by Oscar Peterson that were just, they were more what I think of as blues and jazz. Oscar's original career, his early career, was more involved with blues. So he's got all the traditional blues licks that he's really utilized and combined with jazz in a way that's the kind of music that I sort of aspired towards on my piano, in my piano playing. And I don't know where I heard that before, because I've never heard a lot of this music. But this is not Oscar here. This is a different piano player who came in after Oscar was playing. Oscar was playing earlier in this concert, so it's there on YouTube. Oscar Peterson Trio and Ella Fitzgerald, Jazz at the Philharmonic, 1957, World of Jazz, the channel World of Jazz. Right there, it's unbelievable to listen to that. But anyway, I think in the interests of others, perhaps we can come back to this later today. I did a lot of work last night. I just woke up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, because I was up till 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning almost. I was up until 8 in the morning. I almost ordered some more. I did order more things, and then I almost ordered even more than that. I almost ordered some welding tables. I'm on the verge of ordering some welding tables. The only thing that stopped me was because I'm not sure about how much the shipping will cost. And I looked up the, you know, I Googled the place, the cellar. I Googled the cellar, and I found out that this cellar was not approved of by somebody. So that put me off. Otherwise, if they'd had a glowing review, I would have probably purchased. Because the price of the welding table was extremely good for what it looks like. At least compared to, it was a $700 table at one place in Ottawa, and then it was $400 somewhere else. So $300 less, plus it was able to be delivered in a few days from now. Like it was, so I almost ordered it, but I was close. But you know, my budget is fine. I can work it into my budget, I think, but I don't really want to do that until I know. I definitely want to do it. I don't really want to spend the money, but I want to get the welding table. I need some kind of a, I can weld on the floor. That's the thing. I'm going to be stuck with doing welding on the floor, which is fine for now, I guess. But I've ordered a couple of tools from Amazon to help me do the welding, the right angle parts of it, to get it the right angles correct. And I also ordered some more things. What did I realize? Something else. Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't show you my ASIC shoes yet, but they're beautiful. Just they're rather unusually decorated shoes. Like I just had to buy the ones I could get, and they weren't necessarily my first choice for style, color wise. But I was rather surprised to find out that ASICS is not ASIX; it's ASICS. But you know, there's a scripture that says, "Do not admit a mistake against a brother." So I should not admit, in other words, I shouldn't really admit my own mistakes if I'm my own brother. You know, I mean, it seems like it's not necessarily, the thing is, I don't have to say it's a mistake. I can correct it, but I don't have to say the first version of it was a mistake. Maybe it wasn't a mistake. Maybe there's a reason why that was the right thing to say, and maybe that will become evident in the future. That's why we don't need to admit a mistake. We don't know. We don't need to, you know, look at things from a negative viewpoint of mistakes. Now, Psalm 22, little children, is our study for today, and it's about the very thing, the words of Jesus on the torture stake, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That's exactly the source, the origin here in this psalm of those words. That's the statement that Jesus made. One of his last statements on earth, well, prior to his resurrection, I should say, because he made many statements after his resurrection. But one of his last statements before his execution, before his death, he only died once, but before his death, he said these words, Psalm 22. It says here, let's introduce it. He only said the beginning of this psalm. He only said the words at the beginning of the psalm, but it shows that he was familiar with the whole psalm and with the whole scriptures, with the scriptures. So let's ask Jehovah's help. Jehovah, direct us, help us. Help us to be alert and awake in Jesus' name. Amen. To the director upon the hind of the dawn, a melody of David. My God, why have you left me? Why are you far from saving me from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I keep calling by day and you do not answer, and by night and there is no silence on my part. But you are holy, inhabiting the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you kept providing them with escape. To you they cried out, and they got away safe. In you they trusted, and they did not come to shame. but I am a worm and not a man, a reproach to men and despicable to the people. As for all those seeing me, they hold me in derision. They keep opening their mouths wide. They keep wagging their head. He committed himself to Jehovah. Let him provide him with escape. Let him deliver him, since he has taken delight in him. For you were the one drawing me forth from the belly, the one making me trust while upon the breasts of my mother. Upon you I have been thrown from the womb. From the belly of my mother you have been my God. Do not keep far off from me, because distress is nearby, because there is no other helper. Many young bulls have surrounded me. The powerful ones of Bashan themselves have got around me. They have opened against me their mouth. As a lion, tearing in pieces and roaring like water, I have been poured out, and all my bones have been separated from one another. My heart has become like wax. It has melted deep in my inward parts. My power has dried up, just like a fragment of earthenware. And my tongue is made to stick to my gums, and in the dust of death you are setting me. For dogs have surrounded me. The assembly of evildoers themselves have enclosed me. Like a lion, they are at my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They themselves look, they gaze upon me. They apportion my garments among themselves, and upon my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Jehovah, O do not keep far off. O you, my strength, do make haste to my assistance. Do deliver from the sword my soul, my only one from the very paw of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, and from the horns of wild bulls you must answer and save me. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the middle of the congregation I shall praise you. You fearers of Jehovah, praise him. All you seed of Jacob, glorify him. And be frightened at him, all you the seed of Israel. For he has neither despised nor loathed the affliction of the afflicted one, and he has not concealed his face from him. And when he cried to him for help, he heard. From you my praise will be in the large congregation. My vows I shall pay in front of those fearing him. The meek ones will eat and be satisfied. Those seeking him will praise Jehovah. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn back to Jehovah, and all the families of the nations will bow down before you. For the kingship belongs to Jehovah, and he is dominating the nations. All the fat ones of the earth shall eat and will bow down. Before him all those going down to the dust will bend down, and no one will ever preserve his own soul alive. A seed itself will serve him. It will be declared concerning Jehovah to the generation. They will come and tell of his righteousness to the people that is to be born, that he has done this. Psalm 22 and 31. I mean, Psalm 22 ends at verse 31. And that's the psalm, as we know, the 23rd psalm is very well known to many people. This is the psalm just prior to that. So tomorrow we can look forward to that psalm, but for today, this is remarkable because we see that when Jesus said this on the torture stake, "Why have you left me?" We see the reference is from verse 1 in this psalm, when that Jesus was speaking. He was taking it from this psalm, but when we look down, my garments they apportion among them. My garments, it says, but Jesus' garments, we know, were apportioned among the bystanders. While he was on the torture stake, they were dividing up his garments, because he would not need them anymore. Of course, he was dying. And as they were doing that, it was fulfilling this scripture in verse 18, they apportioned my garments among themselves, and upon my clothing they cast lots. So we see that Jesus knew this, and perhaps that's why he, we don't know what Jesus knew for certain, but we know, I mean, while he was on the torture stake, we don't know if he was observing. We might believe he was observing these people, but whether he observed it or not, he quoted from this psalm, the same psalm that to it, in which it refers to that apportioning of the garments. And like a lion there at my, as a lion tearing to pieces, right? And then it says, dogs have surrounded me like a lion. They are at my hands and my feet. Well, Jesus had his hands pierced through by nails, large nails that were fastening him to the torture stake. So that was like a lion at his hands and feet, because the teeth of a lion would be very large, and they would be able to pierce through the body of another creature, like a human. So that was fulfilled as well in the same psalm about the lion at the hands and feet. And dogs have surrounded him, it says there, which is maybe perhaps a figurative reference to the crowd of people who perhaps could be, especially the ones who had acted in a way that could be compared to dogs, whatever that might be, whether it refers to the people who had delivered Jesus up to the authorities, or whether it refers to the general unbelieving populace, or whatever, or the Romans. It could refer to the Romans. It could be because the Romans were there as the government people, or representatives, I should say, who were carrying out the execution. But the dogs are somebody who is there, who's there present, is what that implies. If we take this as referring to the impalement of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus. And we can imagine his power had dried up. His tongue would stick to his gums. They tried to give him, and they did give him something to moisten his palate while he was on the cross, I believe. But he refused the gall. When they offered him gall, he refused that prior to the crucifixion. So that's another reason why. And gall would have been a painkiller, some kind of drug. So he refused the gall. And then, because he had refused the drink of the gall, gall was a drink, of course. Because he refused it, his tongue would have been even more dry, and his mouth would have been more so in the condition which is described here. My tongue is made to stick to my gums. So all of these things are quite noteworthy as regards the application of this to the Messiah and the crucifixion of Jesus. Do deliver from the sword my soul. And this is remarkable also. I noticed when we got down to the bottom, there are many good things in this particular psalm which we just read. So I won't read them all again, but it says, no one will ever preserve his own soul alive. In other words, we need Jehovah's help to preserve our souls alive. No one will ever preserve his own soul alive. That's a very, very important principle. Lest we attempt, you know, through our own efforts to preserve our own soul alive. That's a very good point. We can't actually do it, so we shouldn't try too hard, because we need Jehovah. We need Jehovah. We can't preserve our own souls alive through our own efforts alone. That's not good enough. We need help. And then it says, a seed itself will serve him. That I find interesting. That's the most interesting thing almost in this whole thing. A seed itself will serve him. If Jesus is on the cross reading the beginning of the psalm, and we read down to verse 30, and it says, a seed itself will serve him. If Jesus were reading this, then Jesus would be saying somebody other than him would serve Jehovah. That's what he would be saying there. So that is, has power. That's powerful to me. That speaks right to me and says, I'm that seed, perhaps. That's me. That gives me the power to believe that. That's remarkable. Anyway, so I'll talk about perhaps what other things I've been doing after this, but other things I was doing yesterday, and I'd like to get to that, but we're in the middle of our study here, Isaiah chapter 2 today, little children. We should perhaps do that if you're willing. The thing that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, visioned concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it must occur in the final part of the days, that the mountain of the house of Jehovah will become firmly established above the top of the mountains, and it will certainly be lifted up above the hills, and to it all the nations must stream. And many peoples will certainly go and say, come, you people, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will instruct us about his ways, and we will walk in his paths. End quote. For out of Zion law will go forth, and the word of Jehovah out of Jerusalem, and he will certainly render judgment among the nations and set matters straight, respecting many peoples. They will have to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning shears. Nation will not lift up sword against nation. Neither will they learn war anymore. O men of the house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of Jehovah. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob. For they have become full of what is from the east, and they are practicers of magic like the Philistines, and with the children of foreigners they abound. And their land is filled with silver and gold, and there is no limit to their treasures. And their land is filled with horses, and there is no limit to their chariots. And their land is filled with valueless gods. To the work of one's hands they bow down, to that which one's fingers have made. And earthling man bows down, and man becomes low, and you cannot possibly pardon them. Enter into the rock and hide yourself in the dust because of the dreadfulness of Jehovah and from his splendid superiority. The haughty eyes of earthling man must become low, and the loftiness of men must bow down, and Jehovah alone must be put on high in that day. For it is the day belonging to Jehovah of armies. It is upon everyone self-exalted and lofty, and upon everyone lifted up or low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, and upon all the massive trees of Bashan, and upon all the lofty mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all desirable boats. And the haughtiness of the earthling man must bow down, and the loftiness of men must become low, and Jehovah alone must be put on high in that day. And the valueless gods themselves will pass away completely, and people will enter into the caves of the rocks and into the holes of the dust because of the dreadfulness of Jehovah and from his splendid superiority when he rises up for the earth to suffer shocks. In that day, the earthling man will throw his worthless gods of silver and his valueless gods of gold that they had made for him to bow down, to bow before the shrew mice and to the bats, in order to enter into the holes in the rocks and into the clefts of the crags because of the dreadfulness of Jehovah and from his splendid superiority, when he rises up for the earth to suffer shocks. For your own sakes, hold off from the earthling man whose breath is in his nostrils. For on what basis is he himself to be taken into account? Isaiah chapter 2, showing the lowness of earthling man, questioning whether or not men are even to be taken into account. And that they had made these valueless gods, that they had made for him to bow before, to the shrew mice and to the bats, in verse 20. They're valueless gods. But because of Jehovah, men will enter into these rocks, into these caves, into these places in the rocks, these caves, the holes in the dust, because of the dreadfulness of Jehovah when he rises up. So Jehovah, Isaiah says, will rise up. Jehovah will rise up. And Jehovah had forsaken his people. They had become full of what was from the east in verse 6. Practicers of magic, like the Philistines, even compared to the Philistines. And they had gotten concerned with, you know, filled their land with and gathered all these things like silver and gold and horses and chariots and all these things, and the valueless gods as well, the work of their hands, these idol gods that they created, that they made with their hands, which had no value. But the thing that Isaiah, the son of Amos, visioned was that all the peoples would go up to the mountain of Jehovah and they would be instructed by Jehovah and they would learn to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning shears. In other words, they wouldn't lift up sword against nation, nor would they learn war anymore. Incredible scriptures. Isaiah is a most phenomenal book. It's a most uplifting, wonderful prophetic book of many beautiful words and principles. So I'm greatly looking forward to the reading of the rest of the book of Isaiah. And now we should try and decide whether we're going to read something else today and what chapter, what book it might be. Perhaps we could read John chapter 2 and continue our reading in the Gospels. This is the first of the ministry of Jesus, or early on in the ministry of Jesus, perhaps, because it doesn't say. We just jumped right from chapter 1 of John. In the book of John does not, it's not concerned with the chronology of the ministry of Jesus in the same way that the other Gospels are. It doesn't attempt to give the entire account of Jesus' ministry. It's more additional ideas, additional portions of the account. It's ideas in chapter 1. We saw the idea in chapter 1. But then we saw also, well, we did see a chronology here because John was baptizing and then Jesus got baptized and he received his first disciples at that time. We did see a little bit, but the beginning of chapter 1 was talking about the ideas, the word being in heaven and coming to the, becoming flesh and residing among us. The word being Jesus, the word being the Logos, this Greek word logos, which means logic, and it also personifies love. It's the logic, it's the word of God, it's a part, it's a big part of love, but it's not the only thing that personifies Jehovah. The logos is not the only thing that personifies Jehovah, because the logos was a creation of Jehovah. He created the spirit creature who became flesh and resided among us. In John 1 and 14, it says, and that's from directly from Proverbs chapter 8, which we can confirm and read there. But then when we go to John chapter 2, it's continuing this ministry of Jesus after his baptism, but it's not going to be as chronologically complete. It's not as complete as the other Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So here we are, John chapter 2. Now, on the third day, a marriage feast took place in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the marriage feast. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." But Jesus said to her, "What have I to do with you, woman? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to those ministering, "Whatever he tells you, do." As it was, there were 6 stone water jars sitting there as required by the purification rules of the Jews. Each was able to hold 2 or 3 liquid measures. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the director of the feast." So they took it. When now the director of the feast tasted the water that had been turned into wine, but did not know what its source was, although those ministering who had drawn out the water knew, the director of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every other man puts out the fine wine first, and when people are intoxicated, the inferior. You have reserved the fine wine until now." Jesus performed this in Cana of Galilee as the beginning of his signs, and he made his glory manifest, and his disciples put their faith in him. After this, he and his mother and brothers and his disciples went down to Capernaum, but they did not stay there many days. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those selling cattle and sheep and doves, and the money brokers in their seats. So after making a whip of ropes, he drove all those with the sheep and cattle out of the temple, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he said to those selling the doves, "Take these things away from here. Stop making the house of my Father a house of merchandise." His disciples called to mind that it is written, "The zeal for your house will eat me up." Therefore, in answer, the Jews said to him, "What sign have you to show us since you are doing these things?" In answer, Jesus said to them, "Break down this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Therefore, the Jews said, "This temple was built in 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was talking about the temple of his body. When, though, he was raised up from the dead, his disciples called to mind that he used to say this, and they believed the scripture and the saying that Jesus said. However, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, at its festival, many people put their faith in his name, viewing the signs that he was performing. But Jesus himself was not entrusting himself to them, because of his knowing them all, and because he was in no need to have anyone bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. John chapter 2. That's an incredible thing. That Jesus knew what was in men, right? He knew what humankind was like. And he didn't need anybody to be his witnesses. He did not need them. So he did not entrust himself to them. But furthermore, the other really interesting thing in this chapter, specifically verse 20, John 2 and 20 is a verse that I've referred to before in my article, Born and Raised, where the Jews said that the temple was built in 46 years. That tells us exactly, if we know when they began building the temple, which we can date, knowing when King Herod began to build the temple, we can date this statement that the Jews made. We can put a date on it because we can date the beginning of the construction of the temple. we can say when they began to build it, using the our knowledge of the time when Herod became king and when he began to build the temple. Herod actually began to build the temple in his year 18, and he began to rule in the year 37 in Jerusalem. So year 20 BCE was therefore, based on those numbers, was the year 20 BCE. I mean, the year 20 BCE, I should say, I already said 20 BCE, that year was the year, the 18th year of Herod, according to his first year being year 37. Therefore, he commenced the building of the temple in the year 20, and we can calculate 46 years after that. And we can find 46 years after that is the year 46 minus 20 would be 26, but we know there's no zero year, therefore we have to add one more year to this because there's a year missing in that sequence. So we're in the year 27, which is the Passover in 27. That's the year that these things happen, based on that chronology. You know, other people will say the first year of Herod might be a different year, and therefore they'll arrive at a different year for this. In the chronology that I present in Born and Raised, this happened in John 2:20 in the year 27 at the Passover, the year 27 CE of the Common Era, 27. And that was 3 years before Jesus' crucifixion, which was also at the Passover, but in the year 30. In the chronology that is documented thoroughly in the article Born and Raised, Born and Raised Messiah on the willofjehovah.com website. So anyway, that's our study for today, children, and it's wonderful to actually, I'd forgotten that scripture was there in John 2 and 20. I knew that we were going to, I didn't think of it when I thought of John chapter 2. It didn't come to mind that we were going to be touching on that. But we see there are many interesting things besides that in the book of John, and in specifically in chapter 2 of John. We see Jesus performed his first miracle, his first sign in verse 11, in the turning of the water into wine in Cana of Galilee. That was the beginning of Jesus' signs. So that shows that it was just after, or shortly, fairly shortly after his baptism that this occurred. So it is a chronological account. It's just not the same exact, it's the same chronology. It's just not the same accounts that are going to be described in the book of John. It's not the same miracles. It's not the same events that were selected by John to write in his book. The book of John having been written later than the other gospels. So John has added these things which were not mentioned in the other gospels into his book. And John includes also in chapter 1 of his book this important concept about the Logos being sent down from heaven, which was not in the other books either. Very important concept, referring to Proverbs chapter 8. So that's it for today's study. It's been a marvelous study. I've been thoroughly enjoying myself today, even though I'm barely awake starting today. I was very groggy, having slept. I did sleep a good long time, from about 8 o'clock till, so about 9 hours sleep I think I had. So yeah, very close to that. Or fairly close. A 9-hour sleep is good. So it's just that when I sleep 9 hours, I'm more groggy. Sometimes if I wake up from a deep sleep, I'm more groggy than if I wake up from a REM sleep, which tends to be the case if I wake up earlier. I tend to be a little, but I'm not groggy right now. I feel wide awake. So I actually don't think I was in a very deep sleep, apparently, but I was shopping yesterday and I had all these, I had a great many things. Let's listen to a little bit of Oscar at the beginning of this, because it shows the kind of piano playing that Oscar was doing when he was younger and how the blues was more deeply embedded into his piano playing in the earlier stages of Oscar's career. Oscar Peterson, the Canadian jazz pianist from Toronto, Canada, he followed, like, there are these blues, let's just call them licks because that's what everyone calls them, the blues licks that he used in his piano playing I can't think of any specific one. I'm trying to think of a specific one. But they always, for example, would end on the tonic note. You would always sort of end on the tonic. That's one idea. Like, you always go back to the first of the scale. In all of these licks, like, you know, it always goes back to the first, or it's something. Or it could be da 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 da, and then, you know. But it would always, it had to go back to the tonic at some point. Like, it might be, what I'm trying to think, what would that be? Yeah, the could be 3-2-1, 3-2-1, 3-2-1, using the minor third. You know, for example, I'm just thinking, it could be 4-3, the fourth, the F, like if it were the key of C. F, E flat, C. That's sort of like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like that. What does that sound like? I wish I had a keyboard in front of me, I could play it. I probably can get a piano, I can get a keyboard on my computer and play licks on. But I don't know how to do that yet. I'll figure that out. I need to get a keyboard. I don't want to have a big piano keyboard right in front of me here because that would be impossible to, you know, I wouldn't be able to have any other space for anything else, but I could have, I have my regular keyboard, my laptop, everything's in front of me here, and my mouse and all my other things like my gum and my supplements, like my B12 anyways out here. My calculator, my glass of water, my bowls, you know. Oh, by the way, I think I know why my laptop was over. I think my laptop overheating, that's what's causing. That's what I think is causing. Now, I have a theory that the laptop's overheating is what's causing the mouse to lock up, occasionally locks up, because the laptop gets very warm. So I took the keyboard cover off the laptop keyboard, and that's going to help the air circulate a bit better. But I'm covering up the aluminum when I put these coasters down to put my bowls, and it's all my bowls that I put there. I don't put glasses of water there usually. Oh yeah, sometimes a glass of water I put there, the fizzy water. It's a smaller glass one. I'm less likely to tip over. I'll keep that there sometimes, but I want to expose the aluminum to help it radiate the heat out, to help it conduct away the heat. I just touched something. We're at 42 minutes so far today. But let's listen. I want to listen to this beginning part with Oscar. The thing is, I don't know which part to listen to, but I think the very beginning is possibly a good part. But there's another, is an even better thing I want to listen to here. Maybe this is it. Hang on a second here. Maybe this is it. Yeah, this is it. Here. This is in 1979 from the same actual website. Right here, there's some really, also, this is later on, he plays the same kind of stuff. This is Oscar Peterson and Niels Henning Pedersen. If you want to listen to that, you can, 1979 World of Jazz channel. That you can listen to also, let's not have that there for now. Let's just go here. Where is that? Where have I put it? I've lost it. Oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. No, it's in the right place. Okay, good. Let's go back to this one. But these are amazing, amazing. If you love jazz and if you love blues, this is the absolutely, probably it's my inspiration for learning jazz piano. It is this kind of music that Oscar plays in these early days, which I didn't hear a lot of because I was born in 1957. So let's just listen to this. But I've heard parts of it. But this is a concert that was not even heard in our part of the world because it was made in Holland. It was recorded and played in Holland. Here we go. Let's try it.
We're happy to be back in Amsterdam for our annual concert. And for those of you that have seen our show before, it will be as customary. We will have two parts to the concert. The first part will be the Oscar Peterson Trio, and then Roy Eldridge and Joe Jones. And after the intermission, the second set will be Stuff Smith, and then Mazella Fitzgerald. I would like now to introduce the members of the Oscar Peterson Trio, Our guitarist is Herb Ellis. And the musician who's generally considered to be the best bass player in jazz today, Ray Brown.
Say what you want.
And finally, I'm sure all of you who've ever seen our show will recognize the great pianist Oscar Peterson. Oscar Peterson Trio.
Thank you.
I would listen to Oscar, but not so much to the guitar player for learning how to play blues. But that was not really blues. This is it. Not the song, but some of the licks that Oscar plays. There. There. Yeah. 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 There's a lot of blues licks in. There are a lot of blues licks in that song, in that example, in that performance by Oscar of that song. Oscar Peterson, and later in this concert, you see Stuff Smith playing fiddle or violin. And his violin was so loud, you might want to turn the volume down when you get to that, because you might hurt your ears, literally. So I'm just warning you about that. But the first song I think that Ella does is I Can't Give You Anything But Love, that song. And that's where I first noticed her voice being kind of raspy, and she's not really an operatic style singer at all. And I never really knew that about her. I didn't. I think later in her career, perhaps she learned more about how to project her voice and so on. I think that's the reason, possibly, but I'm not sure. But Oscar, here, he's so youthful and exuberant, and you can hear he's really, it seems, an aspiring singer, because he's singing all these notes before he's playing, as he's playing them, before he actually plays them, he's singing all these notes, and he's making a lot of noise. If you were to sit near him while he was playing, his piano would almost be drowned out by the noise of his voice, the loud singing that he's doing here. I never knew that about him either. I had no idea. Recently I knew it from listening to these videos online on YouTube with Oscar playing and singing quite loudly as he plays. And because the microphones have to pick up the piano, it's not electronically recorded. It's going to pick up his voice, too, because it's an acoustic recording device. Okay, so now, let me see. What have I got? I've done some ordering of things, right? And it's just, that's not something I ordered. I didn't order that. But that's the thing is, I don't want to order this welding table because it has a tabletop that is galvanized, and if you actually were to heat the galvanized steel too hot, it becomes poisonous, extremely poisonous, very harmful. So I keep hesitating. If I were to order a table like that, I'd have to make sure that I never weld on top of the surface directly, and that's just not my first choice. I have the option of possibly ordering, where is it? Maybe I have it here. Maybe I don't. Let's see. There it is. There is this table from Princess Auto, which is on sale. It's an amazing price, $200, because you get all these tools with it, all these clamps and things for welding. It's a great deal. There's only one in stock. I would have ordered two if there were more than one in stock, because I think I could put two together and make something out of it. But I can't get more than one, according to this. If I tried ordering two, that might be a mistake. But I could try ordering two, and if only one arrives, I might be still happy. But there's also another table coming available later in October from Princess Auto also, which is this one, I think, and it's this one, only $158. But it might be galvanized on top too. It looks like it possibly is galvanized on top. Can't really tell from this picture. That's the problem to be aware of, because it has the sides of the table folded down around the top. This means it's not likely regular steel somehow. Like the regular steel table was this one, and it just has edges that are sharp edges or unfolded. I can't get it to zoom in right now. Let's see. There it is. I'm not sure what the zooming, what causes the zooming, what triggers it, but it zooms occasionally when I'm not expecting it. There it is. The edge of this table is very, the top of the table is a very sharp edge. There it is. Yeah. That's what it looks like. So it's just, it's not galvanized. They don't, and I just don't believe it's galvanized based on what they say here by the material, about the materials. Maybe it's not clear, but I was shopping yesterday and I didn't buy any more boots, fortunately. I mean, for me, because I had already ordered two pairs of boots I've already ordered. So, but the thing is, whenever I have money, there always are things that I've been putting off buying. That there are things that I need. I've needed them for a long time. I just haven't been able to buy them because of, and I haven't really wanted them. I'm just quite happy. I ordered something from Patagonia. That's right. I ordered fleece pants from Patagonia. There they are. So these, I ordered these fleece pants, the chinchilla pants, Patagonia, which are the very warmest sort of, it's the warmest fleece, just about the warmest fleece that I can get, just about, pretty well anyway, almost. And I mean, it's about 300 weight, 300 grams per square meter, I should say. And I had to work out the formulas for how to calculate that based on how many ounces per square yard, too. It's something like, if they tell you, well, if they tell you how many grams a pair of pants weighs, let's say it's 305 grams, you divide by 1.5 because it's usually 1.5 square yards. So you divide by that, and that gives you 203 grams per square yard. But then to get it into square meters, you have to multiply times 1.2 to get it to, because a square meter is bigger than a square yard. So you want to increase it from 203 grams per square yard. The square meter being bigger, you're going to have more weight in that bigger area. So it's going to be 1.2 times that is 244. So 305 gram per the item, if it weighed that, if the item, if the pants weighed 305 grams, it would be 244 grams per square meter, which is not 300 weight. So to get 300 weight, I have to increase that number to 355, and that would be 284, increase it to 375, 300. So 375 grams for a pair of underwear would be 300 grams per square meter. But if I took 375 grams, and then if I wanted to convert that to pounds or ounces, I'd divide by 454, which is grams per pound. And then that would give me 0.826 pounds times 16 for to get it into ounces, because there's 16 ounces in a pound. That would be 13.2. So 13.2 ounces for a pair of underwear. That's what they should weigh if they're going to be 300 weight, which is 300 grams per square meter. 13.2 ounces, or, you know, more than 3/4 of a pound they have to weigh. So they have to weigh something for them to be 300 weight. 300 weight is a pretty heavy pant. And these pants, what did they weigh? That's another question. Well, I can click on that probably and see what they weighed, maybe. Let's see. Where can I find that? Can I click on it and go there to the website? I'm not sure. Let's go Patagonia. No, I don't think I can. Yeah, chinchilla. Patagonia.com. Let's see whether we can find it. There it is. Men's chinchilla. But we need to say pants. 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 Okay, pants. There they are. That's the chinchilla pants. If we look at these, that's not the color I ordered, but I'll let that be a bit of a surprise. See, that color's not available in medium, large, or extra large. It's not available in medium, which is what I want, or the large, if I could get the large, instead of medium. It's not available in that color anyway, but if we look at the specs and features, Does it tell me how much? Here it is, the weight, 405 grams. See that? 405 grams. So it's more than our 375. So it should be about 300 weight or a little more. It gives us 14 ounces. It's 14.3 ounces compared to what we said we needed, which was 13.2 ounces in order to get roughly, it's roughly the right number anyway, assuming that pants are 1.5 yards, square yards for a pair of pants, which is just an estimate. So 1.5 square yards might be how much is for, if it's less than 1.5, then if it were 1.3 yards for a pair of pants, then 300 weight would be less than 375. Well, we just have to say, yeah. It wouldn't have to weigh, it would not have to weigh 13.2. We could divide the we could divide this by 1.5 and multiply times the other number that we're replacing 1.5 with, which is 1.3. That gives us 11.45. So if a pair of pants is only 1.3, if a pair of pants were only 1.3 square yards instead of 1.0 square yards, if we're only 1.3, or instead of 1.5, I should say, instead of 1.5 square yards, which is what we were assuming, if it were only 1.3, that would reduce the weight of those pants to 11.45 ounces. So that would be what we would need, right? We've got 14.3, so it looks to me like we've got a nice heavy fleece there, so I don't know, though. That's how I calculate it, so that I can not order something that's too light, hopefully, so that I can get something heavy enough. Hopefully. Okay, so so that's... I did a lot of shopping for fleece all over the internet, everywhere I could find fleece. I read the review articles from... I mean, I did a lot... I was shopping yesterday all day long, it seemed like, intensely. And what else did I order here? Let me just see. I ordered something for $350. It's going to pop up. Oh, are those my boots? Those are the boots, maybe. Yeah, those are the boots. Okay, so that was the other order that I had. And let me just close this down here. There's the other concert. Let's play that maybe while we're talking. It's time to quit, just about. And maybe we can play a little bit of this concert in the background while I'm talking here. Let me just get something open here so I don't open in that window when I click on order details. Good. That worked. Oh, yeah. So the other things I ordered, a watch strap and some loofah sponges, and also Himalayan salt scrub. I want to do some exfoliation on my skin. I ordered some more welding clamps. I'll show you those later. All right. I'm glad that popped up. That is the T. Will this continue? The tea tree oil and the welding jacket. Okay, let's stop that there. I accidentally closed the tab because sometimes when I click, it closes two tabs instead of one. It double clicks because my mouse malfunctions, at least in this OS when I'm using it. And then I just use the Command Z to open up the previous tab that was closed. And Command Z, you can repeat that as many times as you want to open up previously closed tabs. And then you can go Shift Command Z to close them again too. Shift Command Z to reclose what you've just reopened. So there are a lot of, that's a nice shortcut for Safari users. I use Safari. It's a beautiful shortcut that I use all the time. But what I should have done to close that tab was Command W. That would have closed just the one tab and I would not have stopped the music, which I inadvertently did. But there's the other concert with Oscar Peterson and Niels Henning Pedersen in 1979 at the North Sea Jazz Festival. That's also, but that's Oscar's older now. That's a lot of years later. That's almost 22, that's actually fully 22 years later, is it? July 15th, is that when that is? I guess it sounds like it's fully, if that's July 15th, it must be, I guess, because it's not the 15th month. So that would be July compared to May, which would be a full 22 years later than the 57 concert. So Oscar's older here. He's not playing, he still plays a lot of blues in his jazz, but, and probably as much in this time period as he does in 57, but I think there's another concert, actually. I think there's another one besides the 57 one. I'm not sure, actually. I'm not sure if this is the one or if there's another one where Oscar plays the blues. And I love when he plays the blues. That's the thing that is the most, it's the most harmonically pleasing to the, it pleases the mind, it pleases the soul. It reaches your soul better than a lot of the other jazz. That's why I like it so much. There's this one here, 57, we've been watching that one. That's the one right there. With Ella Fitzgerald, I haven't even heard the whole thing. I began that today when I hadn't even, I started recording when I had not even heard what I was listening to. The part that I started recording today, when I was beginning the recording today, the video, I did not know what was coming. I was just listening to Ella at the time I started recording. And so here, this might be the one, actually, right here. Yeah, there's the other one, Jazz Icons, Oscar Peterson, live in 63. That's the other one, 63, 64, and 65. Julian Laralde channel. That's the other one. That was not, obviously, it was put on the internet 3 years ago, but it was not 3 years ago. It was in 63, 64, and 65. So this is later than 57. That's the one where you hear all the blues that Oscar plays, that he's so masterful at playing, but it's also so edifying for the soul to listen to blues, not just specifically jazz, but jazz with blues as the basis is, to me, the most deeply inspiring. It makes me want to get up and play music or dance, at least. So it's Ward Green, October 22nd, 2022, 1955 hours. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.